Broadcasting from the studios of Business Radio X, it's time for the Good to Give podcast. This show is underwritten by the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, connecting people who care with causes that matter. Now, here is your host.
Welcome to Good to Give. We are so excited. We have a lot of people in the room today, but thank you for being here. We've got some great guests. I'm Maria Walden Sullivan, the Officer of Development at the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia. Today, we've got some amazing guests. I'm here with my cohort here, Dupreece Wadi, the President and CEO of the Community Foundation. Dupreece, you want to say something?
I'm just glad that everybody is here today. And Maria, thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got Donna Beatty from Fraser and Dieter, a partner there. Courtney Michaud, Michaud, from Fraser and Dieter as well. And Larry Campbell from Corners Outreach, the president and CEO of Corners Outreach. So we're going to have a nice conversation today about what Corners Outreach does in the community and what Fraser and Dieter does as far as accounting and tax benefits to a nonprofit, but also just individuals and how to open a donor advised fund and the benefits to working in the community. So I want to get started. Is there anything else that I need to say? Is there any housekeeping that we need? Okay, let's go. Well, we are excited, Larry, to have you here. I know I've had the opportunity to speak with you only a few times. I know Dupreece knows you extremely well, and you had said you've known him for quite a few years. And so I want to just open this up about, you know, what you guys are doing in the community, because that's what we do here. We're celebrating Good to Give and what that looks like in the community. And so I have a lot of paperwork in front of me, although no one can see that, but I wanted you to take a minute and just really share an overview of what Corners does.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. It's always awesome to get together with great people and share stories. Corners Outreach focuses on equipping underserved students to equip them for better decision-making in life. So often we have resources that many people think everyone has, but in truth, people that are in poverty do not have those resources. And we focus over 11 years of being a resource for those families by creating the ability to be good listeners. It all begins with asking them, what do you need? In almost all cases, once we ask, we learn about their situation. We generally are surprised by it, but by listening to them and then working towards solutions with them, we create true stakeholder investments, what we're trying to accomplish. We began focusing only in tutoring, trying to get our kids to do well at third grade reading level. As you might know, you learn to read so that you can read to learn. And that third grade reading level is a predictor of not only graduation, but also prison population. That's a sobering stat that you can predict prison population based on third grade reading. That's a very critical aspect. About 5 years into our journey, we recognized that our families were not stable at home. And even though education is a great long-term answer, if you don't have stability at home, education will not stick. So we began to really focus on two generations. How do we get our kids better for tomorrow, but how do we help our parents better for present? And that's a critical aspect that we work on. We do that by focusing both on the parent and the student, giving the student the opportunities they didn't think they had. But how do we pause and bring the parents into the discussion? We use asset-based community development. Everyone has an asset. So often, if you're underserved or you're a minority, you believe you have no assets. And we want to establish that you truly do. So we ran that process in 2017. We learned that our parents had a great asset called lawn care. So we got with them and started a lawn care business. And over the past 2 years, we paid out over $1 million in wages in lawn care. It gives us three unique things to do. We raised the wages of the worker. Everyone got 20% increase the day they started. Secondly, increases time of influence. So often in a poverty world, they're working multiple jobs, so they never see anybody or know what to do. And third, we give 10% of every dollar coming in back to tutoring, creating a self-funding nonprofit. Those three principles are really loved by the business community because it helps us do both of those. And now we talk about making an investment, not a donation, because we're investing in the future. As we fast forward during the pandemic, we ask our moms who can sew. 101 moms raised their hand. Now keep in mind, during the pandemic, we're learning them also how to be on Zoom. They'd never been on video before. So now we're teaching them how to sign on video, how to learn how to sew masks. We're creating teams of things that we drop off cloth They sew, we pick up cloth, package it, and ship it. And all the money goes back to the moms so they can stay home. They're losing income, learn those items. Fast forward past that, I get together with business leaders and said, hey, if you were the king of corners, what would you have us do next? Would you do a painting construction? Should we do some other business? Overwhelmingly, they said, create a staffing company. Because you have great audience. You have the ability of relationship. We have great skills. So we launched a staffing company. And over the next 3 years, we'll place 500 workers into any job of any industry, playing to what our teenagers want to do. We're whole life, whole family focused, and we listen well to what's going on. And then we involve other community partners to help us accomplish that.
That is incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many families are you reaching?
We work with 800 families.
800 families, and you have several locations. Where are they?
We have two locations. We have one in Gwinnett in Norcross, and we have one in DeKalb in Dunwoody. Our focus is to be where our families live because transportation is an issue. But again, we're very good at learning and listening and then building that relationship so they feel very trusted. If you could mix poverty, language, status, all of those things, and you come from a different country. So when our families come here, they really compare themselves to where they came from, El Salvador, Honduras, Mexico. But the children are born here. So the children wind up really being citizens of nowhere. They call themselves third culture kids. They don't really belong to their parents because their parents really see themselves as Latino, but they belong to this culture. They're not quite white. They're not quite brown. What are they? In that particular view, they're looking for home. And what Corners is trying to do is build a home relationship that they can feel comfortable. We talk about belonging is being you and still being loved. That's what we want our teens to feel when they come to see us. We do a lot of work with the parents because the Latino culture is very, very family conscious. So and every time we do something with a child, we do something with the mom to make sure we're doing everything together in that process.
That's really incredible. Larry, how long have you been doing this?
I say we started in 2012 officially. So we're over 11 years old, but unofficially, we were doing it a few years prior to that. And one thing I tell business people is I did this while I was running a business. You know, people think about your retirement, but you don't need to retire to do good in the community. So often, if we would do things together while we're young and vibrant, that we could do more things in that process. So to me, it wasn't about retiring. It was about redirecting my resources to help our community out. 5 years into it, I was sold my consulting practice. I devote all my energy to Corners now full time. And my hope is that we'll create a better community and a better family through that process.
I am so impressed. I know you do a lot of great things, but I had not, you know, heard your entire, you know, the conversation about what you do. And Donna, I know you are also very philanthropic. So I'm going
to
bring you in. And, you know, a little bit of what Larry had mentioned, I know that you are involved with other organizations, C5.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about you. I want to hear a little bit about everybody, and then we'll jump in as to how we can kind of interact better.
Okay. Well, I'm a tax partner at Frazier & Dieter, which is a CPA firm. I've lived in the Atlanta area since I graduated from the University of Georgia. And, you know, I don't know how, but I've always just thought it was important to give back to the community. And I've done that forever. And I actually work at a company that actually has that mindset as well. So it's just a really great fit for us. And then I work with C5, which is a youth organization, a little bit more structured in that we take high-risk, high-potential kids from eighth grade to high school and get them challenge-ready and ready for college. And we have like a 99% success rate of getting these kids into college, and a lot of them are first-time college students. So I did, if I could ask you a question, you talk about your kids working, so do you just work with kids part-time or full-time or, you know, in these businesses, how does that work?
Well, we help our kids find part-time jobs because our encouragement is to stay in school.
Yes.
And so often if the kids don't have someone help them find part-time jobs, they drop out of school. The parents are desperate for money and they are just trying to survive. We don't understand that because we don't live in poverty. But in poverty, you have to pay the bills. And in that situation, since many of these folks have status issues, they don't have other government programs to lean on. So our objective is to show the teenager how they can work part-time and stay in school. because we think long-term that's a better answer.
No, I absolutely agree, and that's why I was asking. And then it's your staffing company is for part-time jobs primarily then?
No, primarily it's for full-time jobs. So it's for the parents of the students that we work with.
See, what a concept. Yeah. That's awesome.
And really what it gets into, and I can tell stories forever, so I'll try to be brief, but we sit down with our students, our teenagers, when they turn 13, we start working on them about what they want to do. And we think about education, but really vocation is the best answer. Vocation travels different pathways. If I'm a doctor, I'm going to go through a long-term medical school. However, I could actually be a plumber and make the money of a doctor and not go through medical school and not go through school at all. So what we do is we set it with our students and we give them the 50 jobs most hired in America. But when I go through that exercise with them, I put the cards up and say, hey, DePriest, pick the card of what you want to be. And we'll build a bridge from here to there. But when I go up there and I watch DePriest, he's looking at those jobs and I say, what's going on? He's like, I don't know what these jobs are. We have dental hygienists. They've never been to the dentist.
Hard to imagine.
Hard to imagine. Mm-hmm. This is the life we live in poverty. And so what happens is that you can think that you're very much communicating, but you're not communicating to the level of the receiver. So then what we recognize is let's spend time explaining what these 50 jobs are. Like what does an architect do versus an engineer? And so in that process, we want to change the trajectory of our students, not to think about what their parents do, but think about what they could do. And in that particular view, we're creating all new horizons, which is why a staffing company makes sense. We place people in medical, insurance, banking, logistics, manufacturing, robotics. Those are things that our students never thought about working in, but now we give them an opportunity. So when they turn 18, they can go to college, and we want them to do that if that's the right vocation, but they can start a certification process to become a master plumber. And so the criticality is showing them those views. All the while, two-generation focus, bring mom and dad in, so they will celebrate with us what we're trying to accomplish.
I will tell you, I have worked with folks from CFIVE before. I've actually been to a couple of your graduation ceremonies.
Okay.
And I think the common thread between Corners and CFIVE is that these are great ways to accelerate young people to a livable wage very, very quickly. I remember at one of your graduation ceremonies, Ashley Donna, all the young people got computers at the graduation ceremony. They all got laptops. And
that was from Fraser and Dieter.
Wow,
awesome. The firm.
Go Fraser and Dieter.
We do it. We've done it for 3 years now.
That goes an extremely long way because those are game changing strategies.
Yeah.
Larry and I worked together during COVID relief. So we were neck and neck, you know, arm in arm during COVID for making sure that young people in Gwinnett County had the resources they needed to go to school and get education, you know, remotely. And so what community leaders don't really understand is that in order for a young person to really be successful, they have to get a jump start. And this jump start could be something as simple as, you know, computer support, you know, tutoring, could be a ride to school, could be a pair of comfortable shoes, mm-hmm. could be eyeglasses even. You know, it's amazing how many young people can't even see. And so when you look at these micro grants and some of these small grants through donor advised funds and how they change communities. They change communities one person at a time, one child at a time, one individual at a time, one family at a time. And that's why this work is so important.
Well, I'll jump in. You mentioned donor advised funds. And for those that don't know what those are, it's a way for the person that has a charitable inclination to maximize the tax benefit out of that. So people that have transactions, like if you sell the business or you, I don't know, win the lottery, whatever, and you have a lot of money that you're not used to having and you're going to be in a higher tax bracket, you can, and you're charitably inclined, you donate to like the community foundation. They will hold the money. You get the deduction in the year you put it in the donor advised fund. But the cool thing about it is once it's in there, you determine which charity gets the money, you, the donor, and it's growing. So you have more money to donate. And if you're the type that likes to give like your church a certain amount every year, go ahead and get the deduction this year when you're in the 30% tax bracket. And then you can still do it the $10,000 a year or however you want to do it. And, I've referred clients to the community foundation, and it's just a I mean, it's just a win-win for everybody. The kids win, or the charities win. You know, you guys are able to, because I understand you guys also, you guys is in the Community Foundation Vet Charities. So the donor has a sense of confidence of the money they're giving to. They can ask you and they can be comfortable that their money is being used for good.
That's right.
And then our clients or whoever gets the tax deduction now, which is, you know, it's a no-brainer to me.
Well, and that money grows tax-free.
Right.
And another good thing about the donor advised funds is if you have investments, you don't necessarily have to donate your cash. If you've got some stocks that maybe grandma gave to you, or you've just been holding on to them for quite some time and now they're worth a lot more than they used to be, you can donate the stocks into the donor advised fund and you'll get a deduction for the value of the stock, not what you paid for it. So in that way, you're able to get a deduction for more than what you actually paid for something. And then you also get to bypass, if you were to sell that same stock and recognize a capital gain to get the cash to put into the fund. Instead, we're just going to skip that step altogether, skip the capital gain and get a bigger deduction for the stock.
That's before we close today, make sure you give everyone your contact information in case I'm sure there's going to be questions following this. But and you're right. And we as a community foundation will even take land and sell it. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, so stocks, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, many organizations don't want to deal with the land, but we actually do that too. And Larry, I'm sure you've benefited from
some of
these donors.
We have a stock fund that lets people direct to us. We have a fund holder in Community Foundation, and other people can direct to that particular view. I think one thing I would highlight, too, is nonprofits, sometimes people feel like it's not very sophisticated. And so I'm just going to argue for a moment, and this will be a little bit of my background. I work for the seventh largest company in the world. I worked all the way in corporate America. I know what large business does. I ran my own consulting practice. Got employees in 20 states. I know what we do in consulting world. The criticality is to determine what outcome you desire and work backwards. If we're going to run nonprofits and we're going to get donors to give us money, we need to show outcomes that change lives. And so it's important not to just have passion, but to also have process. And processes really make a big difference. And part of what I was able to do is to take skills learned at setting in billion-dollar corporations and bring those same skills to setting in the living room with a family. Because you have to be a good listener. You have to think about what the solutions are. And you have to create measured outcomes. Maria and I share in a principle that called 40X. And I've used it in my consulting practice. I use it in my nonprofit. It gives me ability to create a scorecard so that I can also make sure I'm focusing on both leading indicators and lagging indicators. When we look at a ball game, we quickly look at the score. The Braves are ahead 11-3. That's very easy. But if we look at a trend analysis, what's going on in the last three innings, it might give us an idea what we need to do next. Life is full of trends more than scores. And in many cases, we don't see that as business people. A nonprofit exists for the same purpose. It's to change lives. We're not giving it back to the stockholder, but we're giving it to our stakeholder, which is very critical in that process. Unless we use the money wisely, the community foundations and other donors won't give us that money. So I'm a great believer that how you talk about tax issues, that we think about what we're doing, it's critical that we understand the process that creates true changed lives. I don't believe intention is enough. I believe we must be intentional to create those outcomes. And I'm a great believer in those processes.
Yeah, I agree, Larry. And thank you for sharing that. We, as you had mentioned, the 4DX or four disciplines of execution, I'm a huge proponent of it. In fact, we are having a large event on October the 4th with Chris McChesney, who is one of the authors of the four disciplines of execution, at North Point Community Church, who also is a huge proponent of 4DX and has created and used that practice throughout all their churches. So, but wildly important goals, focusing on that, acting on those lead measures, as you mentioned, keeping that scoreboard, which I think, you know, when you see something, you can manage it better. Mm-hmm. And then the cadence of accountability are the four disciplines. But I want to make sure I mentioned that October 4th event, and we're looking forward to anyone that's interested in attending. We love to have you.
So the Alpharetta campus, right?
It's the Alpharetta campus, yes. And so, yeah, exciting stuff. And how is it, just because you said that, and on the heels of just promoting this October 4th event, how has it impacted your business? How your bottom line as far as 40X?
Well, part of it, the criticality for me is, if you look at, we work from a one-year-old all the way up to a 70-year-old. So when you look at that, we want to look at that slice in different ways. We want to see how is the one-year-old doing in their assessments. Yes, one-year-olds get assessments. The criticality is, we want to know how you're doing at third grade. The criticality we look at is the individual, and we look at the whole family. We use all those scoreboards to determine how a family participation is, how much food we've given them, have we got another job for them, what were they making before, what are they making today. We use stackable certification. We talk a great deal about, like, all of our teens go through, or they become CPR certified. Well, part of the view is to teach them the principle of getting a certification. It shows diligence on their part. So we measure what we're doing in that process, because we think those measurements allow us to better direct, and also let us tell a better story to future employers. You know, if someone has got their CPA or they've gone through programming class, they show the diligence of learning. And learning really is a lifelong thing in those processes. So for me, it lets me really focus my strategic plan on what is it we're trying to do from a scope point of view. Everybody does good. This is not good versus evil. It's good versus your focus. Yeah. Yeah. And so if we're really going to do well, we've got to make sure what we're doing is focused on what we're trying to accomplish. This goes back to our outcomes. The outcomes working backwards, you have to have a methodology to keep up with that. And if my staff were here today, they would tell you how much I believe in analytics, how much I believe in processes. Process also lets us partner well. We're very fortunate that we work with, like, Dr. Audrey and Department of Health. Mm-hmm. We need to know where we come together. We work with Atlanta Speech School on literacy. Where do we come together in that process? So for all of our partners, for our donors, we tell them, hey, come in and do practice interviews. And we had UPS come in and do practice interviews with everyone in our ESL class. ESL class students, they're adults. They're all scared to death because they have to do all their interviews in English. But guess what's going to happen when they get on the job? They got to do their practice in English. So we want to use partnerships and bring them at the right moment so they can pay a difference in life. UPS has worked with us for 4 years. They came back and said, Larry, this is the best service project we've ever done, because it gave them real-world experience. Three of our workers, our adults, got jobs out of that experience. So therefore, the outcome is creating its own view in that process. Yeah. So I'm a great believer that measure what you do, and then basically the things that return outcome, you feed, and the things that don't return the outcome, you stop. That's not always popular in the nonprofit world, but it's really popular with my donors, because I can show them where their money went. I can show them how that money changed those people's lives. I'm trying to teach that principle to all of our teenagers. You know, we know this as we get older. I'm really old, I'll say this. Almost all of life is a series of choices. We don't like to hear that, because we'd rather say, I didn't do anything. But in life, in most cases, we have accidents and we have things that come up. But in most cases, life's full of choices. We're trying to teach our teenagers to make the right choice, because choices open up opportunity. Bad choices close down opportunity. So when we talk about measuring, we talk about both the individual, the overall family, and how the organization's working through that.
That's amazing. This opportunity on October 4th is not only for nonprofits, it is for profits as well, business leaders in the community, because, as you said, you came from a corporate background and you're taking processes that you applied there, and it's transferable into the nonprofit sector as well. So it's open to everyone. I have a question. Do you offer, like, you know, if someone wanted to become a tax, you know, or an accountant, is there partnerships like that that you have, you know, for?
Yeah. And here's an example. And this is where you guys could come work with us. So we do what we call Inspiration Industry Nights. We'll bring an inspiration speaker and they'll tell a story much like our audience. Hey, I was once involved in sex traffic. I was sex trafficked. I got out of it because of this reason. Or I was involved in drugs, or I actually was a stowaway, a migrant. We'll tell that inspiration. And then we have breakout sessions. So a person can go down and talk about construction or tax planning or insurance, banking, especially the areas our families don't think they should belong in. Like, no, you could be a tax accountant. So we want those breakout sessions to be with people like your expertise, to get our teens excited about a trajectory they've never thought about. We do that once a month, every month. because that's a great way to bring industry in, but also to bring our community together to really see our families up close. I really love Brené Brown's work, and she says it's hard to hate close up. We have so many issues in our society because we don't really know anybody. Once we get to know them, we're all very much alike. But we only know that if we spend time together. We're trying to do multiple ways to connect ourselves. Our slogan is better together. I can't tell you the number of times at Lawn Care, we'll go work on someone's lawn, and I'll get a note from one of my clients saying, man, those Latinos are really nice people. Like, it's quite a shock. But they've never really spent any time with any Latino. And in that particular view, we realized, yeah, they're really great people. But without that opportunity to share, they won't know that. And so part of what we need to do as leaders is we need to think about how do we create the opportunity to know more about it. Our industry nights is a great way for people in the community to come explain to our teens, what does tax accountant look like? They won't know what that is in that process.
Well, you can count us in on that.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many offices do you have at Frazier & Dieter?
Well, we're nationwide, but in the Atlanta area, we have our main office in Midtown, and then we have an office at Avalon and Alpharetta, which is where Courtney and I work. And we have like 25, 30 people up in Alpharetta.
And I mean, even tax preparation, there's some lead and lag to that. I mean, really, as you were describing process, I'm thinking of, you know, how you look at your entire year or if you opened a donor advised fund and where you could, you know, contribute or how you could measure, you know, some, I mean, you could take this further, but I was thinking about that as Larry was describing those lead and lag measures and how that could be applied in
that there's,
preparation.
There's a lot of proactive planning that we do to help our clients, you know, make sure that they're making the right decision. And even as Donna mentioned, sometimes when they put a stock or funds into a donor advised fund, they don't know which charity they want to send it to after that. So we have multiple times connected individuals with charities that fit their values.
We see that a lot. And we get called upon quite a few times to help instruct what those causes that matter or those causes that are relevant in a community. When you look at corners, that's a wraparound situation where they check a lot of boxes. But there are some donors or fund holders, as we call them, that are interested in singular causes. Some are interested in, you know, natural resources, you know, clean water. So we look across the world for those types of causes that they're interested in. Others are interested in causes around special needs education, which is, you know, singularly focused. But when you look at community, there are ebbs and flows. I mean, you're looking at any number of needs that could, you know, manifest. I kind of call it bobbleheads. You know, you take care of one and then another one pops up. And so you got to have the resources and you got to have that educational footprint to share with folks in a community to help them to better understand, you know, what these root causes are and how we could affect them systemically.
Thank you. That was actually well said. But Courtney, back to you were saying as far as your taxes and as we were talking about, or DePriest was just mentioning, I mean, you not only, because I know you work outside of the nonprofit sector individually, I mean, it just that's your scope of work, but talk a little bit about what Frazier & Dieter does as a whole, because I don't know that, you know, just to talk about your organization outside of the nonprofit world.
Yeah, well, I'll ask Donna to pop in here too, but we do a lot of things. You know, I'm in the tax world there, but we're an audit and advisory firm also. We're working on developing client accounting services so we can help small and large businesses with their bookkeeping side of things. And Donna, I'll ask you to jump in here if you have anything to add.
Well, you know, I just, anything that's business related, because if we can't help you, we are in so many businesses and have so many contacts that we can help you get to the right place.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, you start a business, you know, you would be remiss not to talk to a CPA just to set it up, because I can't tell you how many times we've had to fix something rather than getting it done at start. So we don't, you know, David Dieter is a founder, and I've been with Frazier & Dieter since forever, it seems like. But he never said no to anything. And it's like, we'll learn it. And that's our attitude. And if we don't learn it or we can't be good at it, we know who to help you get to the right person.
It's a great philosophy.
Yeah, it is. But you were government sector, I mean, nonprofit. Name all the areas.
Well, we
that
don't
you focus
do very
on.
Much government, a little bit okay. of government, but we do have nonprofit. We do a lot of employee benefit plans. So I think if you have over 100 employees, you have to have an audit. And Fraser and Dieter has a pretty large practice there. We do the biggest thing that's growing is because of cybersecurity is that part of the practice. It's called process risk and advisory, but it's, you know, we go through the controls of your computer system to make sure that you don't you're doing things correctly. You know, if you want to work for a big company, they want to make sure your computer is good enough because so much business is transacted just electronically now, and look at cybersecurity and make sure that you've got the right control set up. Or I mean, that's about as good as I can say because it's not, I just send it to them to do that.
Yeah, let them do what they're really good at.
Yeah. And then, you know, even from tax, you know, I and Courtney, we do what we call the closely held businesses, which is smaller. So from 1 to 10 to 15 to 20 people. And then we have, you know, $1 billion public companies that we do. So accounting is pretty open. You know, we do what's called audit or reviews, which is what banks want or other businesses want, just to see somebody else saying that your financial statements are accurate. Because a lot of times you make decisions based on the financial statements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Well, thanks. That's and your seems like it's so philanthropic to the majority of people that work at Fraser and Dieter. Are they, give back, or is that something like it's a philosophy or a culture?
Oh, it's absolutely a part of our culture. We shut down our office one day every year, every office throughout the country to work. So maybe we can help We'd you if it. You need something. And then we also have a foundation where employees donate to a foundation, and then our foundation matches it for $2. Wow. So, you know, if I need to, I want to make a $1,000 contribution, I put in my $1,000, and then we will get, I'll tell them I have $1,000. They'll give me $2,000 more, so it's $3,000.
That's awesome.
But I like you're that. Limited to $1,000, so I can't go and. I mean, I would love to like do big things, but they want every employee to be able to participate and find their philanthropic need. So we monitor the resources so everybody can have it. But yeah.
So you know, theoretically, so let's say, because I think that's a very generous benefit. To offer employees a 2-to-1 match. That's virtually unheard of. So if an employee came, let's say a new employee started at Fraser Dieter and they started with $1,000, let's say that they decided to open a donor advised fund through a community foundation like ours with that $1,000, could that $2,000 match be matched in that donor advised fund for that employee so they could grow over time? Ideally.
I mean, our requirements, as I understand it, is it just has to be a 501c3. And that's IRS code for a legitimate IRS recognized nonprofit. So I don't know if that's ever been done, but
that's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, year to date, we are right under 11% on a return on investment.
Wow.
So I look at that, you know, long term and look at what those gains could be, you know, for a charitable opportunity to support community. So that's something to marinate on.
Yeah. And I will just be real clear. You have to contribute to the foundation to be able to get this match. So it's not just anybody. If you're not willing to invest your own money, then we're not willing to invest our money, basically, is the philosophy.
Hey, yeah. I wholeheartedly agree. I think that's great.
Yeah.
You got to have some skin in the game.
Dupree, if you didn't ask, I was going to. I was curious about the same question, and I wonder how many other organizations are philanthropic like yours and provides that, like you said. You know, I don't hear of 2-to-1 anymore, but that's really incredible and impressive. And, you know, you could benefit from that too, Larry.
Sure.
You know?
Well, it kind of speaks to also the spirit of, you know, of giving right now, because when I talk to a lot of young executives, they're looking at that total package of what companies are doing philanthropically, you know, for community, not only in the benefits that they receive themselves, you know, the bonuses, the stock options, the salary, obviously, but this resonates with their spirit of, you know, contributing and volunteering. And so I would think that Fraser Dieter would really be able to capitalize on, you know, really great talent coming in the door.
Yeah. I'm not in the recruiting process, so I'm not sure. I don't want to make it all about Fraser and Dieter, but I will tell you, I mean, I've been with Fraser and Dieter a very long time, and this started when Fraser and Dieter had 20 people, this philosophy of giving back. So it's just, it is a part of our culture, and I think it's a part of our country's culture. That's very important to a lot of people
very
now,
much so.
Which
it
is awesome.
Well, yeah. It just, you know, as Larry was saying, with the many organizations you're creating, staffing, and then, I mean, your workforce, as I read about your the development in the communities and what you're doing, there definitely is, I mean,
it well, I'm telling you, I have clients that I actually am going to talk to you afterwards that need help. And I was just heard her lamenting today that she can't find people. So,
yeah, it's a pretty interesting scenario. Is these are my words, so not everyone's word, but, you know, we have, because we have 800 families, we have a large audience. And those audiences they trust us. We built relationships with them, and we could tell great stories about how much they love us and we love them. We truly are one family. In that particular view, we have a criteria for when we put people out at businesses. We want to make sure that they're going to be taken care of in that scenario. But most businesses come to me and they're like, I don't have a bilingual person. You know, you're in the banking business or insurance business or medical business, you really need a bilingual person. So in many cases, we do translation certification for our teenagers so they can start having part-time jobs to just be a pure translator.
That's excellent.
And that gives them the ability to, again, gain confidence. So often, because our Latinos are sometimes left out, and that's maybe true of all minorities, they're not called on often to lead the pledge or to do other things. The more we can let them speak, the more their voices can be heard, the more they can find their voice in that process. And translation is a great way to do that, because we more and more are a society that needs help with translation, and it gives a great way for our teens to feel good about themselves, to do what they've been doing for their parents, but now they could be making money at it in that process.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. I mean, this has just been an incredible 45 minutes, I think. I've been cued that we have maybe a minute left. But, you know, you just don't know why you're placed together. And it sounds like, Donna, Larry, you have a conversation after this, you know, with not understanding what we're going to talk about it. And it just kind of flows. And I think it's an organic process. To your point, Donna, I think we are, as a community, trying to make a difference. And thank you for all for being here today. And DePriest is, you know, leading the way. And I'm so excited that I'm a part of this. And so the Good to Give podcast is powered by the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia. And we are excited to be here every month. And so listen in. It's the third Wednesday of every month. So please stay tuned. We've got a lot of exciting guests ahead of us. And we really appreciate Fraser and Dieter. How would they reach you if anyone wants to reach out to Fraser and Dieter?
Our names with a period between it, donna.beattie@fraserdieter.com. You can go on the Fraser Dieter website. Mm-hmm. You can go to Alpharetta, and then you can find us that way.
And that's B-E-A-T-T-Y.
That's correct.
And then Courtney, I know I messed your name up earlier, but it's M-I-S-H-O-E.
That's correct.
Okay, true. Perfect. Thank you. And Larry, so good to see you.
Yes,
how,
good to see
how
you.
Would one reach you?
Cornersoutreach.org. You can go on our website and put anything you want to. And if you put an email in at info@corners, it'll come right directly to me. And we really want our community to pull together. So we're looking for volunteers. Always come volunteer with us, get to see our kids and our adults, get practice interview sessions with them. We appreciate the opportunity to be here today. Thank you very much for including us.
Thank you so much. And DePriest, any last words?
I just want to thank the three of you, Donna and Courtney and Larry. You make our world so much better, and you make our community foundation so much stronger. So thank you for joining us today.
Yes. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Good to Give podcast. This show is underwritten by the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, working with donors and nonprofits, improving our world through the power of philanthropy. For more information, go to cfneg.org.